WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the festive season here. Happy playoffs to everybody. I have suspended the Maryland Crab Cake Tour until such time when the Ravens have a parade or until we get together at the Super Bowl. We're going to be doing Crab Cake Row presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs, some O Snap scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube Multicare. That will happen on February the 5th. Whether Lamar Jackson and our Luke Jones are in Las Vegas or not remains to be seen. This guy might be there. He has been analyzing football in a different way. We talk about folks that come at it a different way. I was introduced to him by Jim Schwartz about 20 years ago, and he said, this guy, analytics. I'm like, what's analytics? I don't even know how to pronounce analytics or spell analytics. But the DVOA has become a standard bearer for measurement for football players and football teams. Aaron Schatz joins us now. He is our defending champion around here. And Luke sends his apologies for not getting together to smother Lamar with all of the love and the team and the greatest of all time team, but he promises to see you if Lamar can navigate these next 2 hours of football over the next couple of weeks. How are things with you? You have a new gig going on. So first things first, I know it's been a different kind of year for you. How's life?
Yeah, it's been very different. For folks who don't know, I'm now at FTN Fantasy. You can find all the DVOA numbers at ftnfantasy.com/DVOA. It's been a bit of a change, and my schedule works out a little differently. You know, you establish sort of rhythms when you do this for 20 years, and then all of a sudden you're doing things a little differently. But I like my new home, and it's been an interesting season. So I'm feeling pretty good about things.
I understand change after 20 years as well, so we're making some changes around here. Certainly for what you write about and the science of this, and I will go ahead and use the word science in regard to, you know, the way you have – evaluated apples and grapefruits in some cases, because, well, Lamar, it's different than evaluating other people on a statistical basis. There's more analysis that needs to be made that you have been making from the beginning. This has been a revelational year, and Luke put up this stat at the end of the Pittsburgh game that they hadn't been behind by two scores all year long, like literally. And you have an evaluation for them that I want you to explain to our audience, which is the reason I brought you on to say, this is not just impressive. This isn't just pretty good. It's sort of was a landmark season in a lot of ways for your measurements, right?
Yeah, because they're not just beating teams. They're destroying teams and destroying good teams. They faced the fifth hardest schedule in the league this year and just walloped their opponents. So in my DVOA ratings, which go back to 1981, the Ravens are the fifth best team of the last 43 years. And that includes sitting their starters in week 18. If you took out that game, they would be the third best team of the last 43 years. And now that not only is astonishing, but the 49ers come out as almost as good. The 49ers are the eighth best team. So you have a year this year where you have these two teams that are just far ahead of everyone else, except one of them beat the other one and pretty soundly.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing I keep talking to folks here this week. I mean, until we get through next week, San Francisco and Baltimore are what people are expecting. And look, the odds are when they move this thing to seven teams on both sides, there's only one team with a bye. That team has a hell of an advantage over everybody else in the field. But the advantage that I found was that I always thought this was going to be Burrow and Lawrence and Mahomes and Allen, and you'd have to win three of those kinds of games, two maybe on the road, unless you're that team. Well, the Ravens are that team right now. So I think it's put a lot more expectation on who's going to beat them in this kind of year. And it's going to have to happen at home, and it's going to have to happen while the Ravens are pretty healthy. So, I mean, all of these things conspiring to make the Ravens this favored team, a lot of it kind of speaks to the kind of year Buffalo and Kansas City have had too, the level of confidence you have in these other teams.
Buffalo's had this weird up and down year with they're very inconsistent. The underlying numbers have always been really good for them, but then they lose in really weird ways. And Kansas City, their offense has just, you know, we kept waiting for their offense to become the Kansas City offense that we've known from the last few years. And not only did it not happen, they declined. Like they were worse in the second half than they were in the first half.
Well, it
So,
might have been a lot better if they catch 80% of the balls they dropped, right? Like, because
yeah,
that would
well,
have led to dry all the things that you study. Like, they were
their
game-breaking
receivers are a
drops, literally,
bit of a
right?
problem. The receivers are a bit of a problem for the Chiefs. Yeah.
But that would have changed all the measurements. I mean, ifs and buts and candies and nuts and all that. But when you're evaluating that team specifically, it's not that the offensive line broke down. It's not that the quarterback can't throw it or they're getting bad down in distances. They're just not executing at
Well,
the
they
end.
also have problems. The tackles have not been great. They signed Donovan Smith from Tampa to play left tackle, and he wasn't that good. And then he got injured, so now they have a rookie at left tackle. Their interior offensive line is still really strong.
Defensively, the Chiefs have been formidable, correct? I mean,
Yeah,
right up there with
defensively,
Cleveland in that way and Baltimore.
not that high.
Okay.
Cleveland and Baltimore are pretty far ahead of everybody else on defense, but the Chiefs are seventh in my numbers on defense for the year. So, yeah, they're a strong defense, stronger than they were last year, that's for sure.
Make your case for Joe Flacco and for five quarterbacks in Cleveland, four that were functional during the course of the season, and what this represents for him to come in because they're dangerous. I don't think there's any doubt with their defense. They're dangerous, and you get the right weather, the right circumstance next week. If they were to win this week, they have their own challenge against Houston this week. But what Flacco did 2 weeks ago against that defense needs to be noted.
Yeah, Flacco has played very well. That being said, I think the long-term outlook for Flacco, you have to consider his age and his performance over the last couple of years, and it suggests that he can't play this well in the long term. The defense is outstanding for Cleveland, right? So Cleveland and Baltimore are clearly the two best defenses in the league this year, and that defense can carry them a long way, but their running game has been below average. And I have a hard time imagining that Flacco can keep it up at this level. I think he can be an average quarterback, which with that defense is still formidable. But I don't think he's really going to be an above average quarterback in the playoffs.
What's been the most impressive thing for Lamar and the offense for you? Statistically, as you break it down, you always find these sort of anomalies and outliers and crazy things. I would think this particular offense and Lamar's efforts have created some things that you note and say, I haven't seen that before.
I mean, the fact that the quality of the running game, given the fact that it's mostly like undrafted free agents, is pretty remarkable. I mean, they lost the guy who was supposed to be their starting running back early in the season. And then with Edwards and Hill and Keaton Mitchell, they put together the best running game in the league. Now, Lamar Jackson is part of that, right? Part of it is that Lamar Jackson. The fear that he's going to keep the ball opens things up for the running backs, but still, those running backs have been pretty darn good considering that, they're both mostly a bunch of no names.
Well, you said it opens up things. It's opened up the passing game. The fact that he stayed behind the line of scrimmage. I said he's run around like Roethlisberger, and I sort of mean that with love in saying extending a play, keeping a play alive, where in the old days it just never happened because he just take off.
Yeah,
And
he
he'd take off,
scrambles
and you get
less than.
15 yards. You feel great about it. But then he throws the ball, and Zay Flowers turns it into a touchdown. That's a different feeling than Lamar breaking ankles as a young man in Cincinnati and embarrassing guys. The embarrassment happens here when. You can't scout team him well. You can't prepare for him. Then he gets into open space, and you're thinking he's going to run. No, he's not. He's going to make you think he's going to run. You're going to come up, and he's going to burn you with his arm. Which that play wasn't in the playbook in 18 and 19. I didn't think he would ever think that way. I didn't think they would ever coach the takeoff out of him because he's so good at takeoff.
Well, the shock is going to be for Ravens fans. This team statistically was more efficient passing the ball in 2019 than they are this year. I realize that from a film watching perspective, his processing and like making reads is more impressive this year than it was 4 years ago. But the actual statistical efficiency, the passing game was better 4 years ago than it was this year.
Well, he had the tight end, and he had a
He did
better
have
run,
Andrews 4 years
a
ago
better
than it was.
overall running game, like Mark Ingram, and we what they you know to me, you would say they're the most. And Luke always argues every point you make, by the way. And I hope he's in Vegas getting together with you in a couple of weeks. But there is a point where all of the touchdown passes and all of those things, they were timing passes. And then there's a difference, I think, between the Roman offense and what. Todd Monken maybe tried to do the first 6 or 8 weeks with less personnel, but it's been so effective the last 8-10 weeks. What Monken has done, it feels like it's blossomed in a way that maybe we didn't see it so much in September and October.
Yeah, I mean, some of that, I mean, like they had that game against Pittsburgh where no one could hold on to the ball, and they definitely had receivers missing certain games. And I mean, there's no question it's been outstanding. Everything about the team has been outstanding. They're outstanding in every way. I mean, if you're going to be like one of the top five teams of the last 40 years, you better be pretty good at everything. So they're pretty good at everything.
For you, with any trends, that anything different about the game that you see this year, anything weirdly up or down that's worth discussing in the way that you discuss it from an analytic standpoint?
Offensive levels were definitely down this year, and sacks were up. And there's definitely a feeling among a lot of people who cover the league that there's a real problem with offensive line depth, that these guys are not getting enough practice time in the preseason. And so when offensive linemen start to get injured, you're really having problems. It really slows down the whole offense. And the backup lineman, the drop from the starting lineman to the backup lineman is a real problem.
I see it, and I see it differently, and I see what Harbaugh and this team has done because of Ronnie Stanley's whatever age, knee, you know, trying to keep him healthier, knowing that you're 10 games or, you know, you're 13-3 or whatever you are. He needs to be ready to play and play at a high level for 3 more hours this year for all the money they've given him and all the injuries and all of that. I just think for the offensive line, and I say this to Luke all the time, we're 25 years into rotation on defense where every defensive line would have 6-7 guys, linebackers, you know, nickels and dimes. There's no nickel and dime package on offense. There's thud and scud and bigger backs and tight ends and Pat Ricards, but there's 5 offensive linemen and they don't rotate those. You don't have 2 different centers for shotgun and defenses are playing 17, 18 deep. Offensive lines are playing 5 deep and rarely can they go 6 or 7. The Ravens invested in Pat McCary to be a sixth guy. But all that being said, you don't really want him to play. And even if he's perfect, you'd still rather have your starters taking 60 or 70 snaps as offense. They're expected to make 70 snaps. Whereas we have 2 down linebackers and we have defense is more evolved from a personnel standpoint to be more multiple than we think of an offensive line about continuity, continuity, continuity. Different legs will have guys stepping on each other.
Yeah, I don't know whether somebody will come out, because the problem is the trade-off, is the continuity trade-off, is that if you are subbing in offensive linemen, there is that trade-off in continuity. And continuity is really important, that these 5 guys work together and have time together. And I don't know whether somebody would try to rotate them more often. And obviously Baltimore's done it a little bit this year and they've had success, but you know, New England has rotated offensive linemen and they have not had success. So I don't know whether it might become a regular thing for a lot of teams.
Well, when you pay a left tackle $20 million a year, his backup better not be, it better be noticeable. You know, I mean, literally where the linemen are going and the amount of money they're making. I mean, the Ravens every year for 5 years lost a Jensen or, I'm trying to think of the kid that went to Detroit and got all the money, but every year they've lost players and Osemele. And they didn't mind going to the draft to replace them. They didn't feel like we want to pay guys $10, $12, $14 million, you know?
Right. It's going to happen this offseason too. Patrick Queen is going to leave and they'll replace him with the guy, Trenton Stevens. Is that his name?
Simpson. Yeah.
Trenton Simpson. You know, so they do a good job of preparing for the future. They plan for the future very well.
Aaron Schatz plans for all sorts of things. Tell everybody about DVOA and tell them if I say DVOA, what is the science of that as it's measured for somebody who is just catching on to your nerdery and analytics and all the smart stuff you guys do?
Pretty simple. Just takes every single play in the season, looks at the success based on the down and distance, and then adjusts that based on situation and opponent to tell you when a team is above or below average.
I call it science, football science. He's the king of analytics, Aaron Schatz. Tell everybody where to find you again so everybody can get out there. And I know you do a lot of things subscription-oriented and off-season and stuff like that. What does it take to get involved with all the information that you provide?
Yeah, you go to ftnfantasy.com/DVOA. You want either a Stats Plus or a Fantasy Plus subscription to get all kinds of splits and historical data Offense split into pass and run, split by down, red zone, all kinds of data from this year, all kinds of data from past years. And then you'll find me there all off season doing content and on all the social media sites at ashotsNFL, which is ASCHATZNFL.
Ravens going to win the Super Bowl?
I think they have the best shot, but the biggest problem for the Ravens is that the 49ers are also really, really, really good. But I mean, I think there's a much better chance of a Ravens 49ers Super Bowl than any combination for the last few years.
And I think there's a better chance of Brock Purdy not throwing five picks in the game too, right?
Yeah, he's
So
not going
like
to do that in the second time around. But the fact is, not only are they numerically so far beyond the rest of the teams, they both got the one seed. There are years where you have a team that statistically is awesome, but because of just the way things went, they'll end up with the two or the three seed and they'll have to go on the road. Baltimore and San Francisco are not only that good, they got the one seeds. So it looks really good to set them up for a Super Bowl.
also the balance. You know, there's been a lot of one seeds
They're
that are
both
all
very
offense or
balanced,
all
yes.
defense or whatever. There's a level of balance here that's going to be and home field advantage as well. Hey, thank you. You always make some time. I know you've had some complications around the house today. Thanks for coming on with us. I hope to meet you some point in the winner's circle after all this is over with, and we could talk about the Ravens' historic year and how they won the Super Bowl and what the parade looked like and felt like. Allow me to dream a little bit, right? We got a couple weeks
If
left of this.
they win the Super Bowl, they should absolutely be in the discussion as one of the best teams of all time.
Wow, I'll let you drop the mic with that. So if 3 hours away, a week off, Flacco on the couch, lots of things happening here this weekend. Luke is out in Owings Mills as well. He's going to want to reconvene with Aaron Schatz. He sends his condolences to not make it because Aaron's one of his all-time favorite guys. We appreciate all that people do to add to the color and the conversation of what we get to talk about around here, especially this time of year where we have the best team because Aaron Schatz said so. And so they say so at Hollywood Casino as well, if you want to bet on these things. Luke will be around. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with WinDonation and Jiffy Lube beginning February 5th. It's going to be called Crab Cake Row, and it's going to be awesome. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Lamar Jackson, number one seed, at least until we play. Hang in there. It's a great festive season here at Baltimore Positive.